Our scripture for today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans in the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no other authority except from God, and whose authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive its approval. For it is God's servant for you, for your good. But if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authority are God's servants, busy with this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Father God, open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up, and that what is said, what is heard, and what is understood is understood. Be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've mentioned many times how I promised God that I would always preach on what he wanted me to preach, and how sometimes I've said, "You sure about that?" I had the onus for this sermon a number of months ago, and let me tell you that I have wrestled with this thing. Sometimes I felt like Joshua wrestling God, and most times, truthfully, when I'm doing a sermon, I wrestle with God a little bit. But I think this one, God finally had enough of me and dislocated my hip and said, "Just do it." So let me start out by saying I have a little bit of trepidation, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hope that God speaks through my words. So with all controversial subjects, there is always a disclaimer at the beginning. So this is the disclaimer. The thoughts expressed in this sermon do not necessarily represent the thoughts of First Christian Church of Pulaski, the Virginia region of the Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ, or the Christian Church, Disciple of Christ in general. This sermon, while being given to a congregation of believers, should be viewed from the standpoint of the individual and not the group. The intent of this sermon is to make you think about the relationship between Christianity and politics. Let me acknowledge that I'm skating very close to an edge on very, very thin ice. But it's something I think needs to be brought up, needs to be thought about. The relationship between Christianity and politics, it can't be tied up in a neat little bow with one sermon. So today I'd like us to consider the following questions. What is the relationship between Christianity and government? What responsibilities does the church have regarding government? And what responsibilities do individual Christians have regarding government? Let me say, when I say the church, I am talking about the universal church, and not about individual congregation. So what is the relationship between Christianity and the church? Well, if we look at the passage this morning from Paul, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. Now, Rome was the capital of a vast empire that included the Holy Land in Israel and many parts of the world. And what does Paul say here? Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. So what I think Paul is saying here is that we as Christians need to respect the nation's government and comply with its laws and precepts. Christians need to work within and according to the law. We may not like some laws, and we may not like some of our representatives, but we need to be respectful, and we need to act in accordance to the laws, to the rules that are set in this nation. What is the church's responsibility to government? Well, my friends, the church as an entity has no real responsibility regarding the government. I've looked and I can't find any scripture. I'm not aware of any scripture that would support an individual church or a denomination sticking its nose directly into politics. That is not the church's responsibility. The responsibility of the church is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, to enlighten people as to who Jesus is, what he offers to them, and how he wants us to treat each other and the world. The church's responsibility is to equip people to be able to go out, do the will of God in the world. And part of equipping the world, equipping the followers, includes deciding who to vote for and how to vote on ballot requests. It is not the church's responsibility to endorse a particular party or a particular candidate, nor is it the church's responsibility to tell how to vote on certain issues. If Jeff were to run for mayor of Pulaski once again, it would be inappropriate for this church or I as its pastor to publicly say anything for or against his candidacy. Again, it's not our job. It's not the church's responsibility. But let's move now to our individual responsibilities to government and to politics. The highest responsibility that a Christian has is to fulfill the will of God here on earth. Way back in the Garden of Eden, if you go back to Genesis 1 and 2, God made Adam and Eve the stewards of the earth. God's will was that the care of the earth was given to Adam and to Eve and their descendants, which includes you and I. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. We're responsible for this earth. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. So we are called as part of our commitment, if you will, to stewardship, to making sure that things are properly handled. Faithful stewardship starts in one's home with the caring of our spouses and our children. It expands to our extended family, then to our community, to our neighbors, our church, our state, and our nation. Now, because we are a nation that is a republic, we elect representatives to local, county, state, and national offices. It is each individual Christian's responsibility to make a careful choice of who they vote for to represent them. Our Christian values need to be a part of deciding between different candidates. It is also the individual Christian's responsibility to speak up concerning any government body's action that is not in line with our Christian values. Now, this does seem to contradict what Paul is saying, because Paul talks about if you do not respect the government, that you are in line for punishment. And I think Paul is talking about an extreme response, like storming government buildings, doing things that are not playing fair, if you will, that are not part of the rules, the laws that govern us. But we are indeed called to call out the things in life that we see are not in line with God's will. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfaithful, the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. You don't like what Pulaski City Council is considering? Speak up. You can go to council meetings and express your opinion. You don't like what the Virginia State House is doing or is considering? Speak up. You don't like what the House or the Senate or the executive branch is considering, speak up. We are called by God to carefully consider the things that are going on. And if there is a reflection of His will in them, and if not, again, I believe we are to speak up. And no matter who is our representative, whether they are part of the political party that we favor or the other side of the aisle, we are called to be praying for these elected representatives, again, individually. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and it is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. As I have found no scripture that says the church should stick its nose into the business of the government, I also do not know of any scripture that says that a Christian cannot run for elected office. There is nothing also in the Bible that says a Christian in elected office cannot be guided in their work by the values that they hold. I would go far as to say that any Christian that is not guided by their values, no matter what they do, or the candidates or officials who claim to follow Jesus just for the votes, have no business claiming Christ. Lastly, I want to make something absolutely, perfectly clear. God and Jesus do not belong to any particular political party, to any group, or any nation. There are groups that have made claims that Jesus is only present within our little circles, that Jesus has excluded this group or that group, this politician, that politician. There is no exclusion. Jesus does not belong to anyone or anything. We belong to Jesus. It is our responsibility to take his teachings and use them to bring about the will of God the Father everywhere and in everything. I'm going to admit that I have probably made some of you uncomfortable, to which I say good. I hope that you consider the words that I said, and if you don't believe with some of it, that's fine. But we are called as individuals who love Christ to look for every way that we can do the will of God the Father. Amen.